Hello, and welcome back to the Books and Bones podcast, where we discuss books and their film adaptations. We're your hosts, Jelena
and Jin.
And today we're talking about the film, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yay! So we're not going to go too much into the story again.
Yeah, if you want like a rough...
The rough, in-depth summary
of the story, we covered that in our book episode.
Yeah. So basically the movie is about Arthur Dent. His home is about to be demolished, because his town wants to build a freeway. And then his buddy,
Ford Prefect,
is like, yo man, we gotta go have some six pints.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter that you're... house is going to be demolished because the world's about to end.
Yeah, and like Arthur is just like, no man, like look, it's gonna be destroyed anyways. And then fast forward, they hitch a ride with a ship full of Vogons.
Yeah,
and then
the Vogons find out and then they eject them into space.
Yeah, and then by chance is it the Heart of Glass?
Heart of Gold.
Why did I think Heart of Glass? I know it's Heart.
Heart of something.
Heart of Gold. Anyways, they get picked up by them because they had run the improbability drive.
Yes.
And then it just brought them to this location to where Arthur and Ford were.
Yes.
And then they're on the ship and then they... all basically they're on the way to another planet, which is building, like, it builds other planets.
Yes.
And there's like a bunch of other like filler stuff that happens in between on the way to, I forgot, how do you say it, Magrathia. Yeah,
I think I was pronouncing it wrong in the book episode. I think I was saying Magrathia, but in the movie they call it Magrathia.
Yeah.
And then, you know what?
It's okay. No one came at us.
Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Yeah. Tomatoes, potatoes.
Same dish. Who
says potato? I don't know. I was trying to go along with that.
Turns out Jin's been saying potatoes wrong.
Can I get 12 dozen potatoes?
Yeah, can I have some potato fries?
Ew. Anyways, they meet Slut.
Slarty Bardfast.
Slarty Bardfast.
You forgot to say who's on the Heart of Gold when they pick.
Oh shoot! Sorry. On the Heart of Gold is Trillian. Marvin.
Zaphod. Beeblebrox.
Beeblebrox. And the computer, I guess. I guess we can include him in that.
Yeah, his name is Eddie. They call him Eddie. Yeah.
Hi guys.
I love him. Yeah, he's like, hi guys.
So before we talk about the movie, I forgot to mention this in the book episode, but so the series that I got, it has different forewords by different like either like authors or like screenwriters. So the first book, it had the foreword by Russell T. Davies, who is a screenwriter and a TV producer whose works include Queer as Folk, The Second Coming, Casanova, and the 2005 revival of Doctor Who.
Oh,
Which I started watching Doctor Who from that revival just because it was recommended to me, like, instead of going to the beginning, start at this point, because I guess you'd better understand it. But anyways, I really liked what he said in his foreword because he wrote that The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is one of those books that leaves an impression in the best kind of way. So it kind of leaves you with like a, wow, that was so cool or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that this story should be shared with everyone, like pass it around, leave it at a bus stop, read it during a school assembly like it was read to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like continue the cycle. Because I guess when he read this when he was, like, when it first came out. And then it said that 30 years later, he was looking at a house and he went right to the books. Like, look at the library collection that this home had. And he saw that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, he kind of just, like, looked at the homeowner and, like, they both recognized, like, the meaning behind the book. Like, it was just so, I don't know what the word I'm trying to think of is, but it's, like, they had an understanding of what, like, the world that Douglas Adams's mind went to. And, like,
mm-hmm.
kind of, like, everyone should experience this,
mm-hmm.
regardless of if really into sci-fi or not. Like, mm-hmm. it's a very universal type book, yeah. if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So, I was like, that's actually really cool, because had I not been recommended this book, like, how many years? Like, I've literally had it sitting in my shelf. The foreword was pretty much just like, don't let it collect dust. Like, give it to someone else to read.
That's exactly what
you did. I know. And I'm like, damn it.
You did both of those things. You gave it to someone else to read for a bit.
Yeah.
But then it was also collecting dust.
Yeah. I had to request it back. I didn't even get it back right away.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, how it told you not to do
and no, that don't thing. Do that thing. Meanwhile, I'm like, oops.
I let it collect dust.
I did it. Oopsies. But anyways, if anyone's, like, really curious about reading the book, I don't think you have to read all of them if you're not really inclined. Like, if you don't feel inclined to do it so. But at least the first book, because, like, it leaves you with, like, a really cool, like, oh, man, that was such a fun book.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of answers, a lot of questions weren't answered in the first book. Like, okay, well, what are they going to do next?
Yeah.
They're on the run. The police are chasing them.
It gives you that push to, like, keep reading, because, like, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And, like, I really like this. Obviously, I got a different series than you did, but
mm-hmm.
The series that I bought, I bought them all individually,
mm-hmm.
and then later on, they were all together for cheaper price.
That's what I
whatever.
Did.
Whatever. But all five of the books have different forewords from different, like, things. And so I've never been the person to read forewords mm-hmm. up until, like, very recently, because I'm like, well, there's a reason why someone wrote this.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm glad I'm glad I read it before I continue to read the book. I'm pretty sure I said wrote.
Yes.
Oh, well.
That's okay.
So let's talk about the movie. So The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was released in 2005. It was directed by Garth Jennings, and the writers included Douglas Adams, who did obviously book and the screenplay, and Carrie Kirkpatrick. The cast, and this is not an extensive list, this is just most memorable to me.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Freeman played Arthur Dent. Yazin Bey played mm-hmm. Ford Prefect. Sam Rockwell, Zaphod Beeblebrox. Zoe Deschanel, Trillian. John Malkovich, Huma Kavula. Kavula?
I completely forgot.
I know. And I'm like, they said his name in the movie. Anyways. And then Alan Rickman was the voice of Marvin. And Stephen Fry was the narrator. And he voiced the guide as well.
Yeah.
So, like, there were so many articles written about this book. So, I don't know if you... Do you want to mention any other cast?
Oh, Thomas Lennon played Eddie the computer.
Right. So a couple of fun facts. I only have like two, but this was also a BBC television adaptation in January and February in 1981 on UK television station BBC Two.
Right on.
Yeah. And then so prior to the release of the movie, they had Stephen Fry read an additional guide entries. Which mm-hmm. was released to iTunes to promote the film.
Okay.
So there's, like, entries, like, different entries. Like, because you know how he has, like, entries on, like, Wogons and the, whatever it's called, the Improbability Drive or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they released a bunch of, like, other entries like that for iTunes.
Oh, okay.
As a way to promote the film.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's all I got. So let's talk about our favorite parts
in the movie.
In the movie, or
okay. Well, I just want to point something out. So in the previous episode, I said that Let me start that again. So in the previous episode, I said something along the lines of Phoebe Waller-Bridge had said that Americans need to learn sarcasm.
Yeah.
So I did not remember that video as correctly as I thought I did. She actually said if it's really funny, there shouldn't be a difference between like British humor and American humor. But I knew I heard it from someone. I was like, someone said that Americans are lacking sarcasm. So I watched this other video of these Brits talking about like their favorite royals, their favorite or their the hardest American accent to do. And then like there's this other part where they're talking about what Americans need to catch up on.
Yeah.
And it was actually Jamie Dornan that said sarcasm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then James McAvoy said pessimism. Which, yeah, true.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But yeah, I was like, oh, I feel like maybe I misheard that in that video. Sorry, I just needed to get my facts straight.
That's okay. That's good.
It would haunt me.
You listen back X amount of years later and you're like, oh my god, no. I can't believe
I said that. I put words in her mouth. All right, so let's move on to some of our favorite parts. Personally, one of the big things for me was the casting of Zaphod and Eddie the computer.
Yeah.
So that's Sam Rockwell and Thomas Lennon. Oh, and then Alan Rickman as Marvin.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite parts, I think.
Just the characters.
Yeah, because Eddie sounded exactly like how I imagined him when I was reading the book. And then, like, Sam Rockwell is just
Sam He's just Sam Rockwell.
He's just here for a good time. He's not even in character. That's just how he is.
Yeah. I forgot to mention. So the movie didn't. Okay. So for people who probably obviously read the book, they didn't really like it as much.
Yeah.
I found a couple of like forums on like Reddit or subreddits. I don't know how you say it properly, but they were just talking about how like they didn't enjoy like the adaptation. Like it was just too, what we were talking about earlier, like too action-y.
Yeah, I think the first time I watched the movie, I did enjoy it because
I didn't
know any better.
Yeah, same.
Because my sense of humor at that time was, like, pretty stupid. So I was like, wow, this is so funny. Like, it's so random. But, like, my sense of humor now, like, when I was reading the book, I was like, oh, yeah, this is up my alley. Yeah. This is great. But yeah, when I watched the movie again, I was like, oh, okay, you know, some of the things are exactly the same. Yep. Some things are completely different. Was I more of a fan of the novel than the movie? Yes.
Yep.
The movie was okay.
So Rotten Tomatoes gave them a 60% tomato meter and a 65% audience score. And I'll read you the critics' consensus.
Okay.
A frantic and occasional funny adaptation of Douglas Adams's novel. However, it may have those unfamiliar with the source material scratching their heads.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I think I wrote that in my notes. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I did write that in my notes. The first time I watched this movie, a lot of things seemed really random. But then reading the book,
it made sense.
It made more sense. And then when I watched the movie, I was like, okay, yeah, now it kind of just feels like they're like throwing in things from the book.
Yeah. So it was kind of like the first time we see them use the improbability drive.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Like, this is stupid.
Why would you push a button and then like, what?
It's like, why are we listening to the inner monologue of this whale?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why is he falling all of a sudden?
Why is he like naming like the wind and his tail?
Yeah.
But in the book, I feel like it flowed so much better and it made so much more sense. Because, like, once you kind of get a sense of the humor and, like, the flow of the story.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem random when you
It's not jarring.
No. But, like, when I watched the movie, for the very first time, I was really confused. I was like, wait, what's going on? Why is it like this?
I honestly, I think the first time we watched the movie was, what, before, like, the Yuri's night?
Yeah, that was a long time ago,
too. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
At least, dare I say, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years?
Yikes.
That sounds about right.
Oh, no.
Wait, no.
No, that can't be right.
It couldn't have been.
At least, well, under 10, between, like, whatever.
5, 6... Something like that.
It was still a while.
It must have been 10 years. It was only like 5.
Settle down. Yeah, like it makes more sense when you read the book. There's just little snippets.
Yeah. It's kind of like when you're introduced to this world and how it flows and the humor that he's using.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, it takes like a couple of chapters to get into it. And then like the rest of the movie or the rest of the novel, you can just like...
Just fly right through.
Yeah.
Well, it's just kind of like I was watching... I had rented the movie on Amazon and I was watching it at my parents'. And my mom would come in, like, randomly, and she'd be like, what's this crazy movie you're watching? Like, she would just come in at, like, the most random parts, and then it would just be something... I don't even know what part she walked in at, but something crazy was going on. Probably, like,
I think it was the... Was it the Vogons talking?
Yeah.
She was like, why do they have, like...
Big lips.
Why are they gross-looking?
Yeah. It's definitely one of those movies you can't just like jump in. You have to like
Be there from the beginning.
You had to be there. So, if you had to choose three top moments in the movie, what would you pick? I think I have three. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the only one that's coming to my head right now is when Arthur and Ford are sofas when they get picked up.
Yeah.
And they're so. Like the color of the sofas is like
it matches
what they're wearing. Yeah. And Arthur's like, Ford. And Ford's like, yeah, yes, Arthur. Arthur's like, I think I'm a sofa. Ford's like, I know how you feel. Oh man, I found that so funny back then, and like I feel like it still lives up to my standards. I'm just kidding. My standards. Stupid sense of humor.
I don't know why. It's just a dumb part. But when they were rescuing Trillian, mm-hmm. and they were with Marvin and like Zaphod and like Ford and Arthur, and they had to walk through that field.
Oh, and they kept getting slapped in the face.
Yeah, they slapped in the face.
They didn't believe Arthur at first.
Yeah. And then Ford gets slapped, and then I think it was Zaphod who was just like, run! And then they just go flying, and it's just like, oh, that reminds me. Okay, like total 180. But in the beginning of the movie, I love the dolphins.
Oh, I think I wrote that down too. Like the dolphins have a song.
Yeah. That's probably, like, that would be a second part of mine.
I kind of thought you would like that part.
Okay.
Dolphin girl Jin.
You don't have to tell anyone.
Don't expose me like that.
Stop it.
Stop.
And then when the Vogons, like, their spaceships show up on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like... I can't remember the score, but it's like dun, 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 and just like, keeps going.
Yeah, panning out.
Yeah. And then because usually like I can't remember what the score was. I'll have to find it. But there's always like a part where you're like, okay, it's gonna happen, and it's like,
and it keeps going.
Yeah,
like yeah, and then you see how many ships there are.
Yeah,
there's a lot,
and it just literally covers the Earth, and then it just goes poof.
Yeah. I think another funny part, I don't think is necessarily my favorite, but it was pretty funny when, the Vogons are attacking, Ford, Arthur, Trillian, and Zaphod.
At their house?
At the house. Okay. And then, like, the ones in the backyard, who closed the gate? I think Ford closed the gate.
They're like, oh, we have to go around. Like, what?
These big guys, they could probably just, like... Step over it.
They can just walk right through, and they're like, no!
We have to go around, guys.
Like, see, like, just silly stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then just like Sam Rockwell in general.
Just
made me laugh. He's so funny.
Honestly, I always enjoy movies with him in there.
Yeah, like, I feel like he can just disappear into a character. Like, he just, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He's like, this is who I am now.
I am Zayfoid.
I am Zayfoid.
Yeah. He did He did a good job. I was going to say that when I was reading the book, I never pictured Martin Freeman.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because he's grown up. But so he did like this film, and I don't really remember what he did leading up to like Sherlock and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like since
neither do I.
Yeah, like since that moment he's like evolved into like
he's in the MCU now.
Yeah. So he's got like bigger roles, more memorable.
Yeah. He was Bilbo.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. big roles.
I forgot about that.
See, because, like, if you say his name, I think the first thing that would come to mind would probably be Sherlock or Bilbo.
Yeah.
But this one, I didn't really picture him in that.
Me neither.
I feel
he was very Martin Freeman in this movie.
Yeah.
Not really, to say he's not good at it.
No,
like, I feel like... in the novel, Arthur was more just kind of like, okay, all right.
I guess I'm going to do this.
This is happening now. Like, what the heck? I can't go to McDonald's ever again.
He's so upset about that.
Yeah. And then I feel like in the movie, Martin Freeman was more like, Arthur was more like freaking out about things.
Yeah. And he was very, well, he was also very, very concerned about Trillian.
That's
nice.
That's
segue there.
That's another. Yeah. There we go. The whole love story.
So I watched the movie the first time. I enjoyed it, but then you read the book, and that's not at all how it read. There was no romance.
No.
At all in this. But then you watch it again, and, like, you're watching it, and it's just like, why did you have to include this? Like,
it doesn't really, for me, it doesn't really add much to the plot.
Whenever you watch a movie and, like, this is kind of, like, how I think sometimes. Maybe it's because I watch too much, like, rom-coms.
Yeah.
But every time we watch you can sense the sexual tension, quotations. Mm-hmm. There's always, like, that underlining thing where it's, like, you want them to end up together at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's, like, a formula or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt like this particular movie really didn't need it, even if it was for someone who has never read the book, or, you know, like, mm-hmm. It's just random. I didn't bring anything to the
because in the book it was more like, hey, I met this girl at this party, and then, like, I never heard from her again, and now she's here, and then that's kind of it.
And then they don't push on,
and, like, I don't know, I kind of feel like I kind of felt secondhand embarrassment for Arthur when he was, like, really pushing it with Trillian. He's like,
oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, so this is the kind of guy you want? This is the kind of guy I needed to be? I was like, oh, man, just back off.
Like, you're making it worse.
It was kind of awkward to watch. But, yeah, like, I think the first time I watched the movie, I did find it kind of cute. But watching it now, I'm like, it doesn't add anything. I wasn't really rooting for them. I was more interested in them going to the planet and seeing all of that. But, I'm assuming that something develops between them in the books. But, like, I might be wrong, though, because I haven't read them. Like, I'm just assuming, because why else would they bring it up unless it was just, like, just to say something. But I feel like because after reading the book, nothing actually really happened. So I didn't, you know, have expectations for something to happen, even though I knew something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's really no point in having it there.
It would have been fine without, but...
I feel like Hollywood sometimes does that thing where it's like they adapt the first book in a series, but then they kind of squeeze all that they can in the first movie just in case, like, it doesn't take off and they can't make a sequel.
There must be
we've probably watched a bunch of other movies like that, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Like, I think Divergent, like, the last movie was never made. Unless I'm wrong. I never actually followed that series, so I have no idea. But that's the last thing I heard about
perfect it. Perfect example. I know I'm going off topic, but Beautiful Creatures. I read the entire series, and that was a really, really well done book.
Yeah.
And then you watch the movie, and you're like...
Yeah.
What?
Or Mortal Instruments.
Yeah.
Like the first movie.
Oh my goodness.
So I feel like with this movie, they tried to kind of like squeeze in all that they could just in case it didn't take off. Because, I don't know. I'm not saying like it's not funny, but I feel like this sense of humor is not universal. You know what I mean? Like not everyone would find it funny. So a big difference I noticed in the movie is that Arthur does go down to the second Earth.
Oh shoot.
Because in the movie in the book he's like, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
But in the movie he does.
And because in the book he goes to his office or whatever.
He goes to Slarty Bartfast's office. And Arthur's like, no, I don't want to see Earth, but Slarty Bartfast takes him down
to Earth,
and that's where his house is.
That's
where they have the supper.
That's
with
right.
The mice. Okay, so another big difference, the Vogons ended up chasing the Heart of Gold too, because in the book, once they eject Ford and Arthur, like that's kind of it. You don't really hear about them because after that, they're just concerned about like the police chasing them, right?
Yeah.
The galaxy police. But yeah, no, there's like that whole thing where the Vogons are after them and then they have to go to that one planet to get Trillian because she got kidnapped. And then the Vogons show up on Earth 2.
Yeah. Earth 2.0.
They didn't actually, like those mice, they didn't say anything about like not building Earth 2 anymore, right? They weren't like, oh, okay, you don't have to actually like continue building Earth 2, right?
Yeah.
They were just kind of like, okay, you Slurry Barfast, you can leave now, and that's it.
That was pretty.
Oh, you know what? I noticed in the movie, Arthur calls Trillian Trisha a lot.
Oh, right.
But it's like, everyone else calls her Trillian, and she's like, or he's like, oh, Trisha. It's like, just call her Trillian. That's the name she chose.
Yeah.
I don't know. Going back to like the whole Arthur Trillian thing, I just feel like it was so forced because he was so like, not aggressive,
it was very awkward and like you can feel it. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah. She's like, just like, dude, relax. Like I asked you to go to Madagascar and like now we're here. Like what's the big deal?
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to mention before we talk about like the other differences of the book, before I forget, the visuals when they would do the guides.
Yeah, yeah.
I really liked watching those.
Those are really done well.
Yeah, and they have them on YouTube, and like that's where I learned about the improbability drive, because I was like, what is the improbability drive? Even though they explained it in the book. And I'm like, well, I need to see it.
Jen, after reading about it in the book, well, what's this?
They literally gave you like a page about what it's about. And they did that with like Vogons, and
they did it with that one race, who like they flew into a dog's mouth because they were so small. The dolphins.
Yeah, that was a good
so long.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, personally, I wasn't a huge fan of the movie. Not as much as I thought I was going to be. It was still good.
It was
not my favorite.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like. I wouldn't be like, hey, you should watch this.
Yeah. Or like, hey, let's watch it again.
Yeah. No, the first time I watched it, I actually fell asleep.
Yeah. I can see why it didn't, it wasn't received well.
Well, like it's almost, it's like Twilight. You read this book and you picture this Edward, but then you get this Edward. And then you picture all these amazing scenes.
And then
right, and then you just it doesn't you don't get that.
Yeah.
So I pretty much, like, we pretty much covered everything. But what would be, like, the one part you would change in the film?
So two things. The romantic subplot and the Vogon chasing the Heart of Gold. I don't feel like it really added much. I don't know. Maybe it's because the book was so straightforward in the plot.
Yeah, it was very simple.
Yeah, it was. The movie was very like, okay, we need to add more exciting things. Even though, I don't know.
What's more exciting than a whale falling from the sky?
Yeah, I wanted to spend more time with him. Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm like all over the place today. But the part where they all like turned into like knitting versions of themselves, yeah. And like Arthur's like throwing up, and then it like goes back to him being human, and he's like pulling yarn from his mouth.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
I like that part because, you know,
it's my dumb poo poo brain. This is funny. I'm very easily amused. What about you? What would you change?
I think I'd probably just change the whole like Arthur and Trillian thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've said it before.
How many times can we say it?
But if I, aside from that, if I was to change something else, I'd probably want to see Slarty Bartfast's office.
Oh, that's right.
Because we never got to see his messy office.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So that would be the one thing that I would like to have seen.
Yeah.
For
like a bit there, I was like, are we even going to see him? And then what's his face? Oh my gosh, Bill Nye? Is that how you say his last name?
Bill Nye. I meant to like YouTube that because I'm like, how are we going to say his name?
Bill Nye? Nye? You know who I mean.
Yeah.
That guy. I totally forgot about him too. Holy smokes. But yeah.
Oh shoot, I was gonna say something. Now I completely forgot.
The whole construction of Earth 2.0 was pretty cool.
I liked that because I'm like, it's so funny. They're like filling the ocean with or they're painting that because that's a rock in Australia, I think.
Yeah.
And they're like painting rocks, that. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Or like the flowers, it was like a I don't know. I'm doing a hand motion going, pushing down. I don't know what that is.
It was that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That. But like, correct us if you think we're wrong in not liking the movie. Or like not
liking it as much as we maybe should.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we're like entitled to our own opinions. Like,
to each their own.
To each their own. I liked it, not as much as I thought I would. How many times am I going to say that this episode? Oh my gosh.
Now we can make that a drinking game. Go back and listen.
And listen.
How many times did we talk about Trillian and Arthur? How many times did we say
we liked it, but we didn't like it as much as we thought we would?
And then the kicker is like, which part did Jin say that she liked dolphins? Go. Oh my gosh, that would be so fun if you could make it a drinking game.
18 you year older. Didn't actually make that drink, did you?
Oh my goodness, I have until the end of this month.
Okay, you have until the end of this month. Make the drink. See if it rocks your world.
Yeah, actually. Oh, oops. My Xbox just made a noise.
That's okay.
But yeah, so that's going to be the end of the episode. Next month, we're going to be covering a new book.
Mm-hmm.
Let me correctly get that. All right. So we are going to be reading Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad.
Oh, yeah.
Beans has been wanting to do this for a while.
I've known that Apocalypse Now was loosely based on this novel. I was like, yo,
I'm gonna buy this book.
I'm gonna buy it and then leave it on my shelf to collect dust.
Like we always do.
Like we always do.
What's that Jay-Z song? Like we always do. Oh, that's Kanye West. Like we always do this time. I don't know if that's the right song. I'm just going to stop talking now. So we're going to be doing Heart of Darkness. And yeah, come join us on this exciting journey in April.
It's going to be a journey for sure.
I've heard that some have not enjoyed the book.
But yes, but the movie is...
It's completely different.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot to go through with the movie.
I'm actually really excited because this is going to be another book that I've never read or have actually seen the movie.
Yeah.
So this is going to be it's going to be interesting.
I watched this movie my first year of university. Like, just...
Oh, man.
Rip that Band-Aid off.
Holy, that's actually really intense.
Sorry, you can't watch Girl Interrupted in high school? Well, get ready for Apocalypse Now.
That's worse. Jeez. Well... Here you are.
Here we are.
As always, you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter, where we post almost daily updates on what we're doing and any upcoming books and movies and fun stuff like that.
Anything you want us to discuss, maybe let us know.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.